Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Welcome back, folks. We've talked a lot about what's going on in Israel relative to Gaza and how fluid this situation has been. And in the last week, there's been a number of revelations of really the scope and the outcome that one is hopefully trying to achieve has changed too. And it just highlights the fluidity of this situation. And joining us to talk about it is Irina Tuckerman, president of Scarab Rising, Inc. Irina, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Excited to be here.
So, Irina, the Benjamin Netanyahu the other day said that Israel's prepared for an opportunity for a temporary ceasefire, and obviously they're still trying to achieve a hostage release deal. But he also talked about the implementation of Operation Gideon's Chariots, which kind of seems to have changed with some of the outcomes that they desire. So talk to us about that, if you would.
Well, from the very beginning, this war against Hamas had dual purposes, was to release the and rescue as many hostages as possible, but also to clear Hamas and to disable it from being able to attack Israel again in the manner it did on October 7th. Some argued that these goals were always in a bit of a conflict, which to prioritize first, the rescue of the hostages that were being used as leverage by Hamas, or the security agenda to ensure that Hamas is under such pressure that they cannot present a broader harm to the rest of society. And this conflict inherent to this war has driven many of the contradictions, pauses, and controversies surrounding it. And at this time, Israel seems once again using this wider operation as a way to put pressure on Hamas to release the remaining hostages. But also it is becoming fairly serious about disabling Hamas as a military organization and ending its military capabilities. We have seen that in the deadly strikes that took the lives of some of the remaining Hamas operational leadership, not that they can't be easily replaced, but those are pretty big leadership names like Mohammed Sinwar recently. In fact, just last week, Israel paused in a Israel responded to Hamas outreach when the operation just started in an attempt to come to another negotiated agreement to secure the release of the hostages, but that too failed. Hamas has no reason to release the hostages because they are the only remaining leverage that they have. And there's a growing protest against Hamas in Gaza because the people are starting to blame Hamas for the devastation of the war. Hamas has also been making it nearly impossible to distribute the flow of humanitarian aid among civilians, leading to significant humanitarian impact Israel. Israel, too, is under pressure because the war has been dragging on for well over a year and a half at this point. The U.S. administration has been pressuring Israel to provide more greater access to humanitarian aid and to wrap up operations. And several European countries have been unilaterally recognizing the state of Palestine, apparently as a protest against the length of this operation and the humanitarian reports coming out of Gaza. So there's been more recently, UK also suspended the UK-Israel free trade treaty in response to this new operation. The question that is on the minds of many analysts, both those who support the goals of this particular operation and those who are more skeptical, is whether there's a strategy to ensure that Hamas does not come back, even if the operational goals are met the way it has returned to various areas freed by Israel previously. Is there a long-term plan, finally, to ensure stability in Gaza and to ensure that a terrorist organization will not be politically in charge and that there is a way to move Gaza back to out of a humanitarian disaster situation? Those are the questions on many people's minds.
Arena, what's amazing to me is how Hamas is still able to manipulate and leverage the UN. And the UN continues to put false information out there, misinformation based on stuff that's being provided by Hamas. Most recently, they talked about 14,100 kids were going to die in the next 48 hours if they didn't get aid into Gaza. And it turns out to be not true. It turns out that that's not what was initially said by the IPC, which the organization issued a report talking about malnutrition, that children's age 6 to 59 months would suffer acute malnutrition between April 2025 and March of 2026. So not 48 hours, but in a year. But all the while, what they're finding out is that a lot of the aid's there. And as you pointed out, Hamas is taking it. And you got this war going on in the media right now, and the UN seems to be right in the middle of it, and they seem to be very unilateral on it, that they're only telling a side of a story to benefit Hamas. But a lot of what they're saying is not true. Your thoughts.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Well, I wish I could say I'm surprised that any of it is true, but it has not been. Hamas has been behaving that way from the very beginning of the war. And quite frankly, this is exactly what Hamas playbook has been in the past. Similarly, the United Nations, which has condemned Israel multiple times, not just during the course of this particular war, but throughout its history, has had zero declarations about many other bad actors in the region, and certainly has not put anything close to equivalent pressure to Hamas. Now, there's a reason for a lot of this. First, you know, any international organization is only as good as its membership, and UN has been failing on many fronts. There's a lot of corruption, a lot of lobbying by wealthy actors and powerful actors, and they're not just talking about, the Palestinian entities as an observer status. They're also talking about their state allies like Qatar, like Turkey, like Iran, like Russia and China. All of these actors have been amplifying disinformation and pushing these reports in behind-the-scenes deals. So none of that is coincidental. But what hasn't helped at all with clarifying the multiple reports that have been found exaggerated by Hamas themselves or completely fabricated from scratch is that international leadership in Europe and responsible actors and the media have been amplifying this data and taking data from the so-called Gaza Health Ministry controlled by Hamas without any alternatives, without an iota of skepticism. And even once the information has been debunked, there has never been a clear clarification from a single world leader, from a single major publication apologizing for misuse of misleading statistics. And multiple international media has relied on Hamas-affiliated stringers, the only people allowed to report directly from Gaza, which naturally colored the understanding of the situation by the public and policymakers alike. So a lot of it has not been very honest, even on the part of countries and players who really should know better, say nothing of international organizations that seem to be have become more a playing field for lobbying agendas than about achieving just results for civilians.
So where do you think we stand? I mean, obviously, this is a change when we look at what the outcome that Netanyahu hopes to achieve as a result of Operation Gideon's Chariots, because he's saying now that at the end of this campaign, all of the territories of the Gaza Strip will be under Israel's security control. I thought for the very beginning that was the only outcome that could possibly be had, because it doesn't seem that Hamas and a significant portion of the Palestinians in Gaza ever want to peacefully coexist with the Israelis.
Look, on the one hand, the Israeli leadership has been far from perfect from the very start. Let's recall that it was Netanyahu who has allowed deals between Qatar and Hamas to begin with, which has arguably allowed a flow of money and enhanced Hamas's intelligence and other capabilities. And he's also been extremely indecisive from the very start of the war, vacillating between different outcomes. Many question his decision to go to Rafah only after months of deliberation, when it appeared to be the center of terrorist activity and a central call-out for their senior leadership. There's been a lot of back and forth, and it seems to me that Trump does not necessarily want Netanyahu does not want necessarily the responsibility of having to make very tough decisions. And this is without a question, a tough decision. In 2005, when Israel decided to withdraw, a lot of this was fueled by criticism of having to deal with an endless cycle of violence as a result of occupation in Gaza. It came at a cost to soldiers and to Israeli civilians who were living there at that time alike. And without a question, if Israel does occupy Gaza, not only is it facing a wave of international condemnations and pressure and possibly a broader international unilateral recognition of the state of Palestine that will enable bad actors among Palestinians, and including their failed and corrupt governments, but it's they may be facing more serious security issues as a result. So it can't just simply be occupation. Israel has to be wondering how to execute it in a way that does not repeat past failures and mistakes, and that would require a great deal of international cooperation. It would require a plan. It would require significant resources into disarming, deradicalizing, and re-educating the entire population, and what to do about the thousands of recruits and ideological sympathizers who are already fully grown and who are going to be nearly impossible to deprogram. There's no clear answer to that. On the other hand, there is the mercurial position of the United States, which has vacillated ostensibly on a lot of this. There is the position of Donald Trump, who is increasingly refocusing his attention on the Gulf and extraditing himself from direct diplomatic involvement and support, and who is surrounded by isolationists who are some of whom are outright not necessarily antipathetic to Hamas or to the players behind it, and who is also engaged in negotiations with Iran, which has been the chief political and other and financial backer of Hamas for a very long time. So there's a lot of pressures, as well external as well as internal, on Netanyahu. There is a lot of the a significant portion of the population, as well as families of the hostages, are looking to end the war in Gaza in order to secure to the release of their loved ones at any cost, and their perspectives are understandable. But similar deals have resulted in releases of masses of terrorists in the past, and it's already happened this time around as well. So nobody wants a comeback, nobody wants a return, but does anyone have the political will to do what really needs to be done, to take the position of the United States in Germany and Japan and to see it through? That, I think, many people have doubts about.
No, no doubt. And, you know, it's I can only characterize all of this in one way. We are on an incredibly slippery slope right now. And it's going to be interesting to see what's going to happen in the coming weeks and the coming months, because I think this situation as a whole, as you just described, is becoming so tenuous on so many different fronts with so many different friction points. I don't know. And then we've got the, as you pointed out, the vacillation of this country as to where we're going to be in our commitment to a traditional ally for a long, long time. It's a little disheartening sometimes on some fronts and on some days, and it's mystifying, too. Irina Tuckerman, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate your time and your insight. Have a great week.
Thank you. This was great. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Nerd! dollars.
Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.